We functioned the way we flowed yesterday. I'm telling you, as a pastor, I've never been prouder in my whole life to pastor a group of people, because you guys, the church came through with meals and encouragement, and everybody came together, and yesterday was a beautiful homegoing celebration for a lovely lady, and we're grateful for that today. And I just wanted to say a huge thank you to everybody who participated, bringing food and caring and kind words and love and encouragement. And that's what the family of God is all about. Amen. Amen. I realize probably some weren't able to make it today because they were so busy here yesterday, and that's okay. That's okay. But anyway, we're just grateful today for that. Listen, this Wednesday night, we are going to be continuing our study in the book of Revelation. We are having a great time on Wednesday, going deep into the Word of God. If you've never really studied the book of Revelation, it is fascinating. We're taking a look at the seven different church ages and what all of that means. We're going to be looking at the church of Thyatira this coming week. And so that's where we're at. We're going right through the book of Revelation, and it is exciting, and it really makes you realize how close we are to the coming of Jesus Christ. Also, let me just say, we're excited about what God is doing through our Celebrate Recovery ministry. Amen. We're excited about that. We had some people last week that, I mean, God just touched them on Friday night. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise? Amen. When the Lord touches people and you see tears running down their cheek, you know that's the Spirit of God giving them hope and giving them encouragement. And we're seeing that. And so we're grateful for that and believing God for that. And we believe in that 12-step ministry. And it's just a discipleship is really what it is. It's calling people to a closer walk with God and to examine their life, do a moral inventory of their life, and follow Him in every way. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So that's on Friday evening. So that's kind of what's going on this week. I know next Sunday is Palm Sunday. And I know I talked about Palm Sunday today. That's all right. I get things out of order every once in a while, but I'll try to get it right next week. All right. But anyway, then after that is Resurrection Sunday. Aren't you glad that Jesus is alive? Amen. Jesus is alive, and so we are grateful to that, for that today. We're grateful. Thank you so much for your giving, for supporting this ministry, and I believe it's making a difference in people's hearts and lives, and we are grateful for that today. We're praying for a drummer. You know, we had a guy, and, you know, we're just praying for a drummer, all right? Dustin was here last week, and we enjoyed his playing, but he lives in Dallas. That's a long way to come home. Amen. I say come home because that's my son, all right? But anyway, he lives in Dallas. His home is going to be up there. But anyway, but we're looking for a drummer. And God's going to, let's bless that praise team with a drummer in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you are ready for the Word today? Amen. I am ready to bring the Word to you. If you're ready, say, bring it on. Amen. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 7. We're in a series here. We're looking at Jesus' 8 ways to be blessed, kingdom attitudes that we're supposed to have. Now, let me just say that having these things doesn't get you into heaven. What gets you into heaven is knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But when you know Christ, you begin to exhibit these various kingdom attitudes, and we are excited about that. As you're turning there, let me just encourage you, if you've never been to folcc.org, that you can go to folcc.org and you can check out some blogs there. In fact, we've got a guest blogger by the name of Brother Joel. We're going to be putting some more of his blogs on there this week, and they're just kind of interesting devotional thoughts, and so you can hear from him. And anyway, if anybody has an article they'd like to right, you know, I'm interested in getting the Word out there. So anyway, we're excited about that. And by the way, we've been really focusing on that, on social media and the website. And the last 7 days, we've had like 93 visitors to our website. The last 2 weeks, about 218 different users that have been on our website. Let's give Jesus a hand of praise for that. Amen. Some of them from other parts of the world, South Africa, China, Italy, all different places that people have checked in to read some of our articles. And that's exciting, right? And so we're working on that. And we're grateful for that. So anyway, let me just say this today. God is looking for people to be His purveyors of mercy in the world. God needs you to show the world mercy, all right? And this is what the Word says, and let me know, mercy's lacking in our world. Mercy's lacking. You know, what's in our world today is a lot of, well, I'm going to get even with you, Jack. You know, I'm going to look out for number one. And even this horrendous attitude, you made your bed, now lie in it. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't say that? You know what Jesus said? Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Come on, come on. He helped people get up out of their bed. He didn't tell them to stay in your bed and stay there. Well, Jesus had mercy, right? He had mercy. And aren't you glad for His mercy? So this is the fifth key to a blessed life. Matthew 5 and verse 7, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In other words, what you give out, that's what you're going to get back, right? What you give, that's what you're going to get. God blesses those who are merciful because they in turn will be shown mercy. And when we think of mercy, we usually think of two things. We think of, you know, forgiving somebody who doesn't really deserve it. We think of helping someone who can't really help themselves. But mercy is a greater subject than that. And how many of you realize that part of God's character is that He's merciful? Hundreds of scriptures talk about the mercy of God. And I believe that God's mercy is greater for us in our life than that. And so today I want to look at six facets of mercy. It's kind of like a diamond as you look at it. It has all different ways that you can look at mercy. So we're going to touch a lot of different things today. And so, but I believe that it will help us, right? It'll help us in our relationships. If you really begin to live a life full of mercy, I think that you're going to be happier, you're going to be blessed, your relationships will be blessed. But before we jump into how to live a life that's filled with mercy, let's first ask ourselves the question, why should we be merciful? Why do I need to be merciful? I've got some reasons for that, all right? First of all, because God has shown me mercy. Is there anybody in the house today that says God has been merciful to me? I did not deserve what I got, because if I would have gotten what I deserved, then I would already be dead and gone and maybe in a place I don't want to be. Hello? But God loved me. He cared for me and He showed me mercy. And I'm so grateful for that. And so Ephesians chapter 2 tells us this. It says, God's mercy is so abundant and His love for us is so great that while we were spiritually dead in our disobedience, He brought us to life with Christ. It's by God's grace that you have been saved. And so the point is this, because we have received so much mercy, God wants us to give back mercy to a world, right? He wants us to pass on the mercy that we've received from God. Matthew chapter 18 tells us, it says, shouldn't you have mercy on others just as I have had mercy on you, right? God wants us to be showers and doers and givers of mercy, right? And the second reason is because God commands us to be merciful. It is literally a command of God in the Word of God. Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8 tells us this. It says, what does the Lord require of you? And then He gives us three things. He says to act justly. You say, well, what does that mean? That means to do what is right in all situations, to treat your brother and sister fair, to treat your neighbor right, to be just in your life. And then it also says to love mercy, and then to walk humbly with your God. Those three things are the requirements of God. How interesting that one third of the requirement that Micah gives is to be merciful to other people, right? And so that's an important command from the Lord that we've got to follow. And I'm probably going to just shock you with the next statement. God says that being merciful is more important than even our worship to the Lord. How many of you think that's true? God says being merciful is more important than how you praise God and how you worship God. Hosea chapter 6 and verse number 6, God says this. The Lord says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want you to be merciful. Now, remember back in that day that, looks like our computer crashed. It'll probably come back on here in a minute. Back in that day, when they would worship God, they had to bring a sacrifice, right? They had to bring an animal to be sacrificed to the Lord. And the Lord says, listen, he says, I don't want you to worry about so much about having the sacrifice. What I want you to do is treat your neighbor right. Let me tell you something. God is not impressed if we just come into the house of the Lord and say, hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Jesus, and we put on all this worship stuff, and then we go out and we treat the employee at McDonald's in a poor manner. God says, I'm not impressed with that. He says, I'm not interested in having some kind of a false type of worship. What I want you to do is show mercy to those that are around you. Amen. There's a third reason why we need to be merciful, and that's because we're going to need some mercy in the future. Hello? Is there anybody who says, yes, I'm not planning on sinning. I'm not planning on doing something wrong, but I'm going to tell you something. I know one thing, that my God is, I'm going to need some mercy somewhere out there. There's coming a moment in the future when I'm going to need the Lord's touch in my life. And the Bible tells us that we can't receive what we're unwilling to give. How about this scripture in James 2? It says this, so you must show mercy to others, or God will not show mercy to you when he judges you. But the person who shows mercy can stand without fear at the judgment. Wow, that's an incredible verse. How many of you think when you stand before Christ, you'd like to be without fear? Amen. Then walk here. First, you got to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and be covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. But beyond that, if we walk showing mercy and giving mercy, we know that in that day, because we're following this principle, God's going to be merciful to us. Amen. That's beautiful. And then number four, because showing mercy brings or causes happiness. It makes you happy to be merciful, actually. Now, I never really knew this woman I'm going to talk about. It's Jerrine's grandmother on her dad's side. But my understanding is that that lady was the most merciful lady that there ever was. She's the founder, really, of the Assembly of God Church that I came out of in Worthington, Minnesota. She bought the property. She had a house in town, and she literally moved into the basement of the house so that the new pastor of the church could live on the top floor, and she lived in the bottom floor. She was merciful to everybody. They said that the people would come for miles around. Anybody that wanted a meal, she just opened the door to them. If they were hungry, there was something to eat at Miss Gertis's house, right? She was a happy lady. Why? Because she gave. She was a giver. And this is what the word tells us. Proverbs 14:21 says, if you want to be happy, who wants to be happy? Wave at me today. If you want to be happy, be kind to those in need. It's a sin to despise anyone. How about that guy standing there on the street corner? Oh, really? Or do we love him? I'm just saying. I'm just preaching the word of God today. Proverbs 11:17 says, a merciful person helps himself. You help yourself by being merciful, because when you're merciful, it gives you a good feeling, right? You're being like God is. And so we want to live out mercy in our life. And so today I've got six ways that we can be merciful in our life. And these ways are going to touch our relationships that we have today. And I think they're powerful ways. And so let me just jump right in here today. This is how you can live a merciful life. The first thing is, you've got to be patient with people's quirks. Hello? You got to be patient with people's quirks. She ate her peas one at a time. One at a time. Can you imagine sitting across from somebody and they're eating their peas one at a time? Okay, all right, whatever. We got to be patient with people's quirks, their idiosyncrasies, their peculiarities, their mannerisms, their odd behavior, their irritating habits. You know what I'm talking about, right? A husband was reading his iPad one day, and He tells his wife, he says, the article that I'm reading tells me that men speak about 15,000 words and women speak about 30,000 words every single day. And the wife just replies right back. She says, well, the reason has to be because a woman has to repeat everything twice. And the husband looks up from his iPad and said, what'd you say? How many know that'd be irritating? Hello. That'd be irritating. But let me tell you something. You show mercy to people when you don't get irritated with their quirks, when you don't get angry. And how many of you know we all got them? I've got them. You've got them. Don't nudge your wife. She's got them. He's got them, right? All these little mannerisms, these little irritating habits, these ways of speaking and thinking and acting and doing. But when you control your anger and when you refuse to get upset by people's quirks, you are showing mercy in a very practical way. Now, I'm going to, confession's good for the soul. I'm going to feel better in just a minute, okay? Because I've got a quirk and I'm going to get it out, all right? I'm going to be honest with you. I do not shut cabinet doors. I don't know why, but it drives my wife crazy, bless her heart. Seriously, and when I'm there but the house by myself, I can go into the kitchen. I'm like, seriously, Bob, every cabinet is all completely open. What's wrong with you that you don't shut cabinet doors? And it's even harder for her because she's just got one eye that really functions well. And so anyway, let me just give you the most important marriage advice that you'll ever get in your life today, all right? It's in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 2. This is what the word says. It says, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults, including leaving cabinet doors open, hallelujah, because of your love. That's what makes a great marriage, right? The union of two people who are willing to forgive each other and have mercy on each other. So really, let me tell you, the first place you got to show mercy is in your home. Amen? You got to show mercy with your kids. Don't get me wrong, I believe in tough love, but I'm going to tell you something, I believe in merciful love too. Amen? How many of you know that kids need encouragement? Kids need love. Kids need to be brought up in an atmosphere, in an environment of love. And then the first place you've got to show mercy is in your house. You know, marriages don't generally end because of a big catastrophe. Do you realize that? Marriages end lots of times because there's not been mercy in the household. And there's been a little dig, and there's been a little jab, and then the other one jabs back, and this one points back, and pretty soon it begins to deteriorate from there, all right? So you say, well, how can I get that? You know, how many know that patience is not easy to get? I'm not asking you to pray for it, all right? The Lord will test you if you do that. But let me tell you something. If you need patience, what you really need is wisdom, right? Wisdom. This is what the word says, James 3:17. It says, the wisdom from above is first of all pure. Notice what it says. It's peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. And I like this, it's full of mercy, right? Wisdom is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. So you gotta be patient with people's quirks. Is there anybody that's got, and not just at home, at work, right? How many of you had a boss that had some pretty weird quirks? Some strange people out there in the world, but we got to love them all. Come on. Anyway, number two, the second way we can show mercy in a very practical way is we can help anyone who's hurting around us. Help anyone hurting around me. There are hurting people all around us every single day of the year, all the time. There's people there that need somebody to be with them. And I love the little phrase, you know, find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. Amen. But there's so many hurting people out there in our world. And if you care, you'll learn how to be aware of that. Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan to teach about this very point about helping hurting people around us and the meaning of mercy. And you know, what happened was that a guy came to Jesus and he kind of wanted the shortcut version, all right? He's like, you know, I don't want to read the whole Bible. You just Lord, just tell me, what are the two most important things that I've got to follow? And Jesus just cut right to the chase. He knew right what to say. He said, I'll tell you what, these are the two things. First of all, you love God with all of your heart and you love your neighbor as yourself. And this guy, you know, he was kind of a guy that wanted to get off the hook, you know? So he said, well, who's my neighbor? I'm not sure who that is. Who would my neighbor be? And so Jesus told this story about this Good Samaritan, right? And what had happened was a man was going down to Jericho and he ran into some thieves and they beat him to a pulp and they robbed him. They left him on the side of the road and two other men had already passed by. And then this guy from another culture, from another race, from a different area comes by and he sees the guy bleeding and lying there and he does what's needed, and he picks him up, he bandages his wounds, he takes him on to an inn, and he pays the innkeeper, and encourages the innkeeper to take care of him. He says, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to, you know, whatever you need to take care of him, I'll pay you for it. And so Jesus asked the man then, he says to him, thank you so much, Dwight. Jesus asked the man then, he says, who do you think was a neighbor to that man? And Jesus said, and the guy had to say, well, the guy who was the most merciful, the guy who was merciful. And I don't know about you, but I would love to see the mercy in our church just go through the roof. Amen. I want to challenge you today. I dare you in the name of Jesus, all right? To just jump into people's stuff. When people are hurting, just at least offer them a helping hand. When you see something, don't think, oh, yeah, I'll pray for them. They'll be okay. No, go to them. Talk to them. Encourage them. Encourage them. Proverbs 3:27 says this, whenever you possibly can, do good to those who need it. And so my prayer today is that God's going to put people in your path this week, all right? This very week, God's going to put people in your path with needs, emotional needs, or maybe physical needs, or maybe even financial needs. Hello? And I believe that as we jump in there, God's going to get the glory for it, right? We need to be merciful. Amen. And let me tell you, when we do these things, we've got to do it with a good spirit and a good heart, right? Sure. Romans 12:8 says, when you do acts of mercy, show mercy with cheerfulness. Show mercy with cheerfulness. That verse in the Message paraphrase says this, if you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Amen. How many of you realize who we are? We are the representatives of Jesus Christ on this earth. Amen. We're the only Jesus some people are ever going to know. We're the only Bible that they're ever going to read. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. Hello? And so as we're out in the world, every time we show somebody mercy, what we're really doing is we're showing them Jesus. How many of you say, I want to show people Jesus in my life? Amen. And the third way you can show mercy this week is we need to be able to give people a second chance. Aren't you glad that Jesus has given us a second chance? I wonder, is there anybody here be honest enough to admit, I needed a second chance with the Lord? How about a third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance, sixth chance, 100th chance? Let me tell you something. Our God is merciful. He's merciful. How incredible He is, right? At the worst point of your life, when you're way down, far away from the Lord, man, the minute you start calling out to God, how many of you know He comes to the rescue? He's right there. Come on. That's because He's a merciful God. Amen. And you know, what happens to us sometimes is we don't want to give people a second chance. That's not the natural to our flesh. You know, we think to ourselves, you know, when somebody has hurt us or done something that we need to forgive them for, you know, the natural tendency is one of two things. We're either going to get even with them or we're going to just write them off, right? But let me tell you something. People need a second chance. Ephesians 4, verse 31 tells us this. It says, don't get bitter or angry or use harsh words that hurt each other. Don't yell at one another or curse or ever be rude. Instead, be kind and merciful and forgive others just as God forgave you because of Christ. How interesting that that verse actually contrasts mercy. It contrasts being merciful with six negative characteristics. He says, don't get bitter or angry, use harsh words, yell, or don't curse, don't be rude. He says, instead, be merciful. And you don't want to know why God says that? Because all of those six other ways, that's the way the world operates. Am I right? That's the way Satan's kingdom operates. That's the way the enemy operates. He wants people to be upset. He wants people to be angry and frustrated and all of these different things. Amen. But God wants us to be merciful. Jerita and I have this attitude, and we've said this to each other for the last 30-something years we've been in ministry, and it's this. We don't throw people away. We don't throw people away. I like that. Amen. Pat myself on the back here. Say, good preaching, Pastor Bob. Way to go. Yeah, okay. Every once in a while, I meet somebody that wants to throw people away. Seriously. I've had people tell me, you know, I don't, you know, that person, da 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 da, you know, I don't care, da da da. I just want to tell them, man, just love them. That's your brother you're talking about there, amen? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't throw us away? Amen. Amen. We can't throw anybody away. Amen. We got to stick to the word. And then the fourth way we can be merciful is we got to do good to those who hurt us. Do good to those who hurt me. If you really boil it down, mercy is giving people what they need, not what they deserve. Giving people what they need, not what they deserve. And the truth is that's what God has done for all of us. He gave us what we need, not what we deserve. I like that old song. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need, right? And so, you know, the question, you know, is, you know, why should I do good to somebody who's hurt me? You know, if we can just stop, remove ourselves from the situation long enough and think about it and remember this little phrase that'll help us. Hurt people hurt people. How many of you say, I've ever been hurt by somebody? Raise your hand. You've been hurt. Come on. Somebody said something, done something, treated you in a certain way, and it hurt you, right? Let me tell you something. If you'll go down underneath the surface of that person's life, if you'll go back a few days, a few months, maybe even a few years, if you'll begin to peek into their life a little bit different, from a different perspective, all of a sudden you'll see what that person is they're a hurt person, and that's why they're acting that way. That's why they're lashing out that way. And let me tell you something. That's why we've got to be merciful. Am I right? That's why when they lash out to us, let me tell you something. It's okay. You could just love them back, right? Come on. You can just say, I care about you. It doesn't matter. Amen. Who, you know who needs the most mercy in our life? The people who've been hurt the most. And the people who have been hurt the most, they're the ones who are out there hurting other people. Hello. Jesus says this, and I like it. Luke 6. He says, love your enemies, do good to them. I'm glad that we can love our enemies. Amen. How many of you ever had an enemy you had to love? That ain't easy, but we can do it, right? Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Steve Schaefer. Every time I read that, I think about old Steve. Steve was a guy I worked with at Metropolitan Medical Center 30-something years ago, and he was a good guy. I mean, he was a hard worker, but he was a poor financial steward. And he would say, man, can I borrow $5 to eat lunch? And I give him money. And I mean, you know, I knew he was never going to be able to pay me back, all right? He never paid anybody back. But I would, you know, he was hungry. I had to help him out, you know? And so it was so interesting. Finally, the day came. I was leaving, and he said to me, he said, Bob, you've been so good to me. Look, I'm going to take you out to eat tonight. night. And so we went to a place and we had a nice dinner, and it came time for him to pay and his credit card got declined. Oh, you got to have mercy on people. I said, Steve, it's okay. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Come on, that's what we got to. We got to have that kind of loving attitude towards people. Amen. Amen. Why? Because, and it goes, the scripture goes on and says, then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High. Do I have anybody that's like the Most High? You want to be the children of the Most High? It says, because God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Come on. That's a good thing. There's a famous story about President Abraham Lincoln's mercy. After the southern states had lost the war, I'm from the north, y'all. No, I'm just kidding. I'm from south. But anyway, after the southern states had been defeated by the northern states in the Civil War, 150 years ago, President Lincoln was addressing a crowd from, you know, from the balcony of the White House, and he was laying out his plan for Reconstruction. At the end of his speech, a very famous senator from Iowa, of all places, whose name was James Harlan, he shouted out, "And what do we do with these rebels? What do we do with these men who started this war and caused so much loss? What do we do with them that have caused such grief?" And the unmerciful crowd began to chant out, "Hang them, hang them, hang them." And the story goes that President Lincoln's little boy, about 11 years old, was with his father there. And he came and he pulls on his dad and he said, "Don't hang them, Dad. We need to hang with them, hang on to them, not hang them. We need to hang on to them." And Lincoln apparently took a hold of that. And he said, "No, we're not going to hang them. We're going to hang on to them." Let me tell you something. That's showing mercy. Amen. You know, the world will tell you, the devil will tell you, just go hang them. Just let them out to dry. Just forget them. But let me tell you something. God always says, hang on to them. Amen. People have value. Can I get a hand clap today for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Amen. And then you've got to, number five, you've got to be kind to those who offend. I couldn't resist, y'all. That was such a good picture. All I typed into the search engine was, "I'm offended," and he came up. Have you noticed that there's a lot of verbal attacks on Christians? The spirit of Antichrist is at work in our world. There's a lot of groups out there that are pushing anti-Christian agendas today, right? Because we represent something. Come on. Is there anybody that says, "I'm going to stand for something. I'm going to believe in something. I'm going to believe for the word of God. I'm going to believe for truth. God's word is truth." Just like Peter said, we got to obey God rather than men. And sometimes that causes the attacks to go up. So what are we going to do with these people? These people who are offensive towards us, because you and I are believers. Has it ever happened to you? The other day I wrote an article. I thought it was a great article. Why fake news is a sign of the end times. I put that out on Facebook, boosted the post. I was not ready for the feedback that I got. Now I'm just going to tell you. There were some people that were so mad over that article. I mean, they were furious. They were cursing. They were just letting me have it. I'm the author of the article. They were just, I mean, they were upset and angry. You know, and I remember the one guy, and I left his up. It says, he wrote, oh, the irony of an article about fake news really being about fake news. It was an article about the Jesus Christ going to return and all the signs and the deception. It was all about the Bible. It was not fake news, my friend. It was the truth. Hello? But yet this guy, and oh, everything down on the inside of me. Oh, I just began to just churn on the inside, you know? And I thought to myself, I could just let that guy just have it. I know y'all don't think that way. Y'all are more spiritual than me, but I struggle sometimes with these things, all right? And then I got to thinking, you know, I'm not going to get anywhere if I do that. If I start to defend it, I'm not going to get anywhere. You don't get across your point by being cross. Am I right? That's a pretty good little statement right there. Someone ought to tweet that. I'm not a Twitter guy, but if you tweet, there you go. You don't get across your point by being cross. You know, you got to say, I'm more interested in winning them to Christ than I am in winning the argument. Let me give you a good example of this. It's the person of Paul in the Bible. Well, his name was Saul, right? And when he was Saul, he was the offender. Am I right? He was the one that was up against Christianity. He was the one that was out there persecuting Christians, attacking Christians. And he wasn't just writing a little angry thing on Facebook. Hello. He was dragging them out of their house and stoning them. And this is what he says as he writes of his own life. He said, even though I was once a blasphemer, I mean, there's a lot of them in our world, right? And a persecutor of Christians, he says, and a violent man. This is what he says. I was shown mercy. I was shown mercy. Paul says, look, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for others who would believe on him and receive eternal life. I'm just telling you that a soft answer is always better. Am I right? No, I'm not telling you it's always easier. Hello. I'm just telling you it's always better. Sometimes it feels easier to give a tough answer, but the Lord says, be merciful. Be merciful. You know, on occasion, I have, you know, different conversations and, you know, I mean, seriously, I know the Bible pretty well, okay? I've been studying this thing a long time. I know a lot of verses, but you know what? I don't want to ever use that as a weapon against somebody. Am I right? I'd rather build them up. I'd rather encourage them. Amen? Amen. And that's why the scripture says this. Verse Jude even makes it clearer. Jude chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, he says, show mercy to those who have doubts. How many know it's okay? How many know it's okay? What do you do if somebody says, man, I don't know about the Bible. I don't know if it's true. How many think we ought to have mercy to them? Talk to them. Minister to them. Care about them, right? It says, save others by snatching them from the fire. Show mercy to them while being careful that you aren't contaminated by their sins. Powerful words there from Jude, all right? And then number six, the last way we're supposed to show mercy is, I believe we're supposed to build bridges to the unpopular. Build bridges of love to the unpopular. Christians ought to be bridge builders, not of steel, but in relationships, right? And I'll tell you, there are people in your circle, on your street, where you work, where you go to school, that, you know, nobody really wants to hang out with them. They, you know, they're the kind of people that, you know, people make fun of them behind their back. They laugh at them. They have quirks, maybe a different lifestyle, a different belief system, or they may dress differently, or, you know, they're not in the in crowd. They're kind of the outcast. And let me tell you something. God is looking for believers to make bridges to them. It's important that we do that. Am I right? My mother was an expert at building bridges to the outcast. That's right. The day we brought Dustin home from the hospital, I'm a new dad, okay? How many of you know new dads are a little nervous about babies? And my mother had a friend named Gail in the church, and she was what they called her a spastic. I don't know if they still use that. In other words, she literally could not hold herself still. It was a physical condition that she had. And, oh, she put Dustin right in her arms. And, Joe, I was just like, oh. But you just got to know my mother. She loved Gail. My mom had a scrapbooking friend who was an outcast by many people. I don't know what that, a short person, right? Like a dwarf. A lot of people, my mother would just go find whatever outcast, whatever person needed love, whatever person needed care, that's who she built a bridge to. And let me tell you something, she won a lot of people that way, right? And we've got to be willing as believers to, you know, to be willing to love people. You know, we need to have what's called premeditated mercy. not premeditated murder. I know that's what we think, premeditated murder. No, premeditated mercy. Where we go out on purpose, we're meditating, who can I find today? I'm going to intentionally build some friendships with people who don't have friends. I'm going to intentionally build friendships with people who are unbelievers. I'm going to build friendships with people who are on the edge, people that are struggling, people that don't feel accepted in life. And we've got to do that. You want to know why? It's because before we can win them to Christ, we've got to win them to ourselves. Before they can become a friend of Jesus, they've got to become a friend of ours. Hello? And how many of you believe that every single life is important? Amen? Every single person on the planet is important. Not just the ones with money. Jesus don't care how much money you got. The world might. I heard about a church, and they branded their church. They branded it. That's what they called it, branded it. They said, we don't want anybody on our platform, you know, who has like a missing tooth. No, seriously. We don't want anybody on our platform who has a miss. None of our greeters are going to, be a little heavy. You know, everybody's got to be perfect. This is a church of beautiful people, because if we're beautiful people, that's who we're going to attract, beautiful people. I've got some Greek words for that. Hogwash. Hello. False doctrine. How stupid is that? Come on, somebody. That's ridiculous. Let me tell you something. God does not look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart of people. And let me tell you something. I'm glad that Jesus died for this ugly mug. Hello. Amen. He loves me. And I got problems. I'm not perfect. And I struggle sometimes. And let me tell you something. I'm telling you, I love Jesus, don't you? Because he's merciful. It's time for the church to get back to loving people, to having mercy, to reaching out to people, to caring about others. Amen. Amen. Jesus did that. Matthew chapter 9. I guess I might just preach all day. All right. Matthew chapter 9. It says here, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to be his dinner guests. Ooh, that would be nice, wouldn't it? But guess what? Along with his fellow tax collectors and many other notorious sinners. Notorious sinners. And you remember what tax collectors were like. They could just... You know, if the Caesar said, I need one denarii, they'd come to your house and say, Caesar needs 5 denarii. They'd take the 4 and put it in their back pocket. They were a bunch of crooks, all right? And I know taxes are coming up. Hello, somebody. Anybody need prayer? April 15th, just around the corner. We will have special prayer after church today, all right? But I'm just telling you how amazing that Jesus sat down and he ate with some notorious sinners. And there's some things I like in this. It says Matthew invited. How many of you think it's a Christian's job to invite people to your house? I mean, when's the last time you had a notorious sinner in your house besides you? You know what I'm saying? Just curious. We ought to be reaching out to people, loving people, inviting them to our home. Let me tell you something. When you do that, you're showing mercy to them. You're showing, listen, you're somebody that has value. You're somebody that I care about, and you're somebody that God cares about. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching today. Hello. And I'll tell you, I love Jesus, don't you? Because he was not afraid. He was not afraid of the self-righteous. He was not afraid of the legalists. He was not afraid of the criticism. He just went ahead and sat down and had something to eat and had some fellowship with them and encouraged them. And you can just see the religious crowd out there. They were all upset. Who does that rabbi think he is? That guy who proclaims to be somebody from God, and there he is eating with all those sinners. I would to God that every Christian in America would get a burden and a passion and a love for people enough to invite someone to their house. Amen. Go for coffee. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good preaching today, because we've got to live a life of mercy. I want to be a merciful guy. Don't you? Blessed are the merciful, for they'll obtain mercy. Would you stand with me today? Thank you for letting me just share the word today. Amen. Amen. God is so faithful and so good. Hallelujah. Mercy. We need mercy. I want to know what really needs mercy is our country needs mercy. Am I right on that? Those of us who know the word and look at our current situation of our world and everything that's going on in it and the status of the church and the problems that we see and all these things makes you want to just cry out to the Lord, mercy, mercy, have mercy on America. And God is merciful, is he not? He's merciful. Amen. Would you just join me in prayer today? Heavenly Father, I pray today that you just touch our hearts and lives today. Lord, this was, God, just really a rather simple message today. Not just simple truth. Lord, I'm so grateful today for your mercy. I'd like just for us, just for a moment, can we just thank God if you've received any forgiveness, if you've received any grace, if he's helped you along in life, if you've called out to him, could I just get you to say thank you to the Lord today? Just say thank you for being merciful to me. Thank you for being merciful to me. Lord, we don't want to be like that publican who came to the house of God and said, oh God, look at me, I tithe and I'm this and I'm that, and I don't want to be like that guy over there who's crying out, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, I want to be like that man who just is grateful and thankful that you're a merciful God. And so today, Lord, as we bring this message to a conclusion, we come with hearts that are full of gratefulness and thankfulness. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've forgiven us of our sins, that you wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, Lord, that you've given us such good things, friends and family and food to eat, Lord, and friendships and cars to drive and houses to live in and furniture to sit on and big screen TVs for some and just joy. We're so grateful, Lord. Your mercy is evident in our life because the truth is we didn't deserve any of that, but you allowed us to be born here in this culture in America in this time, and you've given us those things, and we're grateful. We're grateful today. We're grateful today. And we're grateful most of all for the spiritual blessings that you've given us, salvation, the blood of Jesus, the cross of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the living God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so many good things that you've given us, and we're grateful today. God, as your body and as your family today, we give you thanks today. Amen. Amen. Maybe there's somebody here today and you say, I just need God to be merciful to me today. I need his mercy. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want to pray for you right where you're at. Could you just lift your hand up and say, I need God to be merciful to me? Amen. Amen. Hands are going up. Lord, do you see the heart cry of all these different believers, all these ones that are in your house, and they're just raising their hand to you, acknowledging, Lord, they need your mercy. Even today, God, they come to you for mercy. Lord, I just thank you, God, that your mercy is available. Your steadfast love never ceases. Your mercies are new every morning. We honor you for that. We thank you for that. You're so good. You're so merciful. You're so loving. You're so kind. And now, God, I just pray a blessing over this congregation today. God, we've had great times in your presence today. We've sought you, Lord. We've prayed for one another. We've called out to you, God. We've done those things today. But Lord, we come to you today as we conclude this service today. And we pray, Lord, that you would make us merciful. Let us live a life of mercy. God, open our eyes up, Lord, to see the people around us who are hurting. Let us go a shade deeper to understand what they're going through. Let us see the people who need help and encouragement and mercy from us. God, let us be a merciful group of people, God, as we leave this place today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. The praise team is going to minister today over us today. Amen. And we're going to just open this church up to just find a place to pray. You can come and kneel or stay at your seat. But if you need to go, would you lift your hands for the final blessing today? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and may you be given mercy, and may you be merciful, because you'll obtain mercy in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you so much. Amen. As the praise team just sings over us, if you've got to go, God bless you. If you need to spend some time in prayer, that's fine. That's wonderful. This is the God's house. Just feel at home today. Amen. Greet one another today. Amen.